Before I say anything else, I'd like to express my joy at having David lead singing again, being back in that rotation. It means a great deal to have David singing and, of course, doing the work that he excels in. We appreciate that. My voice is weak, and there's reason for that. I'm on a low-fiber diet, and you don't gain a lot of strength from a bowl of cream of wheats. It just seems like strength doesn't come that way. But I appreciate very much the opportunity of being before you, and I want you to know how much I love and appreciate this congregation. What you've done has meant so very much to me and to Rose. We want you to know we love you, and we appreciate your interest, your concern, and especially the prayers. I believe with all of my heart that prayer is answered by God. And I believe that you and I, through prayer, help each other. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to be praying for each other. And so what a great privilege it is to be able to worship God again. Glenn called yesterday, and we were talking on the telephone. Glenn said, we have two preachers and not one between us. you stop and look around. I'm not sure what he meant by that, but anyhow, we appreciate Glenn and love him and the work that he does in the kingdom of God. I went for a meeting at Mount Vernon, Ohio. Had an excellent meeting, just a great meeting. Came home on Thursday and everything was fine. And then Thursday evening, I began having some difficulty and ended up on Sunday in the hospital. And, of course, spent a few days in the hospital. Have you ever noticed how narrow those beds are? But anyhow, I wasn't so much worried about the narrowness of the bed as I was the narrowness of the covers that went over you. And I couldn't keep under them. It was very difficult. But anyhow, we finally arrived home, and things seemed to be a little better. The evidence of my weakness is in my voice, and I think you're aware of that. But we'll do what we can in trying to get through. Someone said, is it going to be a very short sermon this morning? And I indicated I don't want anybody to get into a habit, and the habit would be too short. But anyhow, we're glad to have this opportunity. Have you ever noticed there are people about you who go about joyfully engaging in Christian activities all of their lifetime? They arise in the morning and give thanks to God for the day that they have to enjoy. They go about that day trying to do the best they can in helping other people around about them. They do unto others as they would have others do unto them. And then when worship time comes, they're glad that they have the opportunity on the Lord's Day to be able to come together with saints and offer praise to our Father in heaven. You look at their life and you look at the fact that their life is involved in and revolves around Christianity. And the question comes to mind, what's the motive? Why are people doing this? Why are there those of us who have committed our lives to Christianity and there isn't anything more important to us? There are other activities that are great, but they're not more important than our religious activities. And so the motive is the matter that we're thinking about today. I believe, first of all, that the motive of a child of God is to have a better life. Most of us understand the importance of that. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the record says, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil and his lips that they know no guile. The point is, we ought to enjoy life and we ought to have good days, and therefore we look to do what we can to improve our life here upon the earth. As we look at the statement that was read a little while ago, Jason read very well to us, from a statement of the Apostle Paul. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, "Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." In other words, there is a profit to living the Christian life now. You and I enjoy the blessings of Christianity in our present day. Now you think about the good that comes from Christianity and from living that way. Think about it seriously. What good has come to our community as a result of atheism? Look about you and tell me what great work some atheist has done that benefits men and women round about them. They haven't done anything for us. They are not the kind of people who have in mind serving other people. They have in mind only for the fulfillment of their own lusts and their desires. But look about you and see the good works done by Christian men and women everywhere. And look at the improvement in our lives because there have been Christian people really concerned about the welfare of other people. And therefore, Christianity makes things better for us. Then we look at the life that now is and we think of the happiness and joy that comes from a service even like we're having today. We'll return to our homes a little while and we'll contemplate on what we have done as we've come together, and we'll rejoice in the opportunities that we had and the good that has come from it. What a great thing it is to be a child of God and to know that we can better ourselves here because of the happiness that comes by living the Christian life. Can you imagine a couple of men being thrown into prison, their feet in stocks, and the freedom that they have taken away from them, and they're singing songs of praise to God? Imagine a person who's in a circumstance like that, who still feels the need for expressing his love and appreciation to God by rejoicing in that expression of love. Well, indeed, Christianity then gives us a peace of mind. Look at the Philippian letter, chapter 4, and begin about verse 6. As you go through the verse, notice that he indicates the fact that peace of mind comes as a result of serving God in a faithful way. He first of all gives us this admonition, be anxious for nothing. That is, be careful for nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, pray about the problems that you have during life. I think if we would learn that great lesson, many of us would be able to face life in a better way. We need to learn that we must pray about it. And as we pray, then the apostle said, "The peace of God that passeth understanding." There is a peace that comes to those of us who are children of God that the world just doesn't understand. They can't understand how can people enjoy just sitting around and singing songs. How can they enjoy taking a period of time when they just fervently talk to a Father in heaven? How can they enjoy these periods of service unto their Father in heaven, and they don't understand the peace that comes our way? There are many things that, well, when I look back and I think of Arnold Wright, I think of nearly every time Arnold got before us, Arnold urged us to be of one mind, to be of peace, and not to be fighting each other. And that was a frequent thing in the life and in the prayers of Brother Arnold Wright. I think now of Brother Jim Hadley and Jim's expression of peace that comes from God, a peace that you and I enjoy. Is my life better because of that peace that passeth understanding? There's no question about that. I'm suggesting then my motive in living the Christian life is to improve my life here. All right, let's look again. My motive is to increase my influence. All of us influence people about us, either for good or for bad. We look at people round about us and we decide I'll do what they're doing or I'll turn down what they're doing. And an example is given before us that we can follow. Well, you remember Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. A city which is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither men do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but he put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine, therefore, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Look at that verse again carefully. He does not say, "Let people glorify you." He says, "You live the way you ought to, and it will glorify your Father in heaven." You'll have the right influence. I would like to know that when my life is over, that there's somebody on their way to heaven because of what I've done, because of the life that I've lived. Wouldn't you like to have that said of you, that person influenced people in the right direction, in the right way? My life will be better. That's a part of my motive in being a child of God, is so that I might have a better influence on other people. Let me give you another one. I want to influence my family in such a direction that when life here upon the earth is over, I'll be able to be with them in the presence of God. I believe that that's vitally important. I listened recently as Brother Tom Holland, and Tom Holland is one of the great preachers of the gospel of our time. Brother Holland is winding down his life here upon the earth, and his time has become more and more difficult to him. But Brother Holland said something that made an impression on me. He said, "I'm just delighted." He was at the Diana Singing, which is just below Nashville and occurs every year. But he said, "I'm so happy to be here because I'm with people that I expect to be with eternally." Stop and think about that. I'm with people that I expect to be with eternally. I look for you people in heaven. And I believe that together we can serve God, and that can be our end reward. Is there anything greater than that? I want that kind of influence on other people. And I want to be with people of God, but especially, and I'm sure that you understand why I would say this way, especially I want my wife, my son, and my daughter, I want them to be in the presence of God eternally. We have a daughter already taken care of. And I believe that indeed it's true that as we begin thinking about life, we see the importance of each day of our life. I thank God for what our family has done, but I certainly realize the possibility of things happening that would be beyond our control. But my prayer is that we'll be together in heaven and enjoy those blessings there. Another motive, I don't want to go to hell. I believe a Christian, as a motive for serving the Lord, realizes that the only alternative is a life in hell. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Matthew chapter 7, 13, 14. There is a broad way and there is a narrow way. And the fact is that those on the broad way are on the way that leads to destruction, the way that leads to punishment. I read what the Bible says about hell. The Bible describes it as a lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, Revelation 21 and verse 8. It is described as a place of separation from God. Imagine being separated from God, even for a moment, let alone eternally. You look at this kind of thing where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I'm not ready to pay that kind of price. I don't want that part. And I want to avoid as much as I possibly can getting into that kind of a situation. Heaven is far too great and hell is far too bad for me to allow myself to fall into a way that would take me to that kind of destruction. Indeed, the Bible teaches in Matthew 25, there will be a separation on the great day of judgment. When the day of Christ comes, all of us will be there. Part of us will be put on the right hand. Part will be put on the left hand. Those on the right hand will hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Inherit the joys prepared from the foundation of the world." Those on the left hand will hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." All of the bad things that you've ever heard in your lifetime, there has never been anything worse than to hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Indeed, we want to avoid hell. Hell is not just something that is going to last for a month. It'll last for 2 months. We're talking about something that goes on and on without cessation. It's never going to end. And therefore, I cannot afford to go the wrong direction during my lifetime. Then finally, one of the reasons that I live the Christian life and that you live the Christian life, our motive is to go to heaven. There are a number of reasons I would want to go to heaven. I read Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1, read through verse 4, and I read about this great place that is described where there is no sickness, no sorrow, where pain is no longer, where tears are removed from our eyes. We look at the greatness of a place called heaven. Don't you want to go there? Don't you believe that there is nothing in this world so important that would cause me to want to miss that? I want to go to heaven because of who's going to be there. Look at the people that you've known, and of course you could multiply that by the thousands of people that maybe have gone before you, who were good, faithful children of God. I've been almost 50 years with this congregation. And during that 50 years, I've known some of God's greats. I've seen some of the finest people this life has ever afforded. I could name to you what those people mean to me and how important they are, but I anticipate heaven being in the presence of those people. On the other hand, look at the presence as far as hell is concerned. Who will be there? You know, the people I try to avoid in this life are the people who are going to be there. Do you ever hear tell about somebody buying a piece of property and saying, "I'd like to buy an extra lot just to see to it that I can limit who comes in beside me"? We were very careful about who's going to be our neighbor. What does the Bible say about those who are the wicked of the earth? They'll be in eternal torment. We can't afford to go there. My motive and your motive in living the Christian life is, first of all, it makes my life better. It's the best way of life. Secondarily, it is a life that gives me influence on other people in the right direction. Thirdly, it gives me influence over my family, and I try to lead them in the right direction. And then it helps me to avoid a place called hell, and it gives me the promise of eternity in heaven. Can we help you today by baptizing you into Christ? Think seriously about it. We're going to sing to encourage you. If you've been a member of the church but have been unfaithful, won't you come back today? We pray that you will, as we stand together and we sing.